We're in John chapter 10 today. John chapter 10. Let's go to our Father together, and the words are worth singing, and they are worth praying, that God will open the eyes of our heart. This morning is such a blessing, and if you've been to a few worship services on a few Sunday mornings, we tend to take for granted the blessing that this is. But just to have everybody here, and to know that together, that you and I just might be doing fantastic, or you and I may be struggling, but you and I are together. And this time we get to open the eyes of our hearts. We get to look up. We get to focus on what God has done and not what was done to us. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we give you our lives. You have given us a choice. You made us. You have set a choice before us. You have opened the door to be a part of your family. And we have accepted the gift of your Son. And we, Father, willingly put our faith in you, put our hope in you, love you for all that you are. I pray, Lord, that today that you open the eyes of our hearts, that we will recognize that we have taken in the body and the blood of your Son, that you will fill us with your Spirit to joy and thanksgiving, that you will make faithful our steps so that we may walk in the path of Jesus, staying near to Jesus. I pray that we hear his voice, and I pray that we obey. Father, we offer this prayer through the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 10, there are two I am metaphors that Jesus uses. We're going to take a look at the first one today, and then just right on the heels of that, next Sunday, we will see the second one. And both of these share the theme of shepherd and sheep. And as we talked about with these I am statements of Jesus trying to show God's people his connection to the Father, in John chapter 9, he has healed someone. And that has led to this teaching. And so in John chapter 9, Jesus has healed a blind man. And this, of course, causes a stir with those who are in the know. This causes a stir with those that should know God. And of course, their conclusion is, what's going on? Well, I guess their question is, what's going on? Their conclusion is, this can't be from God. This guy comes and he claims these wild things, and he does these things that we have not seen. So, of course, let's figure out a way to debunk his ministry so we don't have to listen. And then here in John chapter 10, Jesus takes this opportunity to compare his ministry and what he is trying to accomplish with God's people with that of the other religious leaders of the day. And he does this in such a brilliant way that on the surface they have a hard time even understanding. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now Jesus paints this picture and tells the story of this sheepfold. Everyone who's hearing this story in Jesus' original context, they know what a sheepfold is. A sheepfold is basically, we're used to more hot wire or, you know, wooden posts. But a sheepfold would have been a round just wall of stones and rocks built up. And it would have had one opening. And so what the shepherds would do is you would have these sheepfolds in different places and around towns. And so the shepherds are out grazing their sheep and they bring them to the sheepfold. They walk them in, and there was usually someone that was in charge of the gatekeeper here. And so there is one opening to all the walls, so they'd have a simple gate on there, and it may have been made out of wood, and it may have swung on a hinge, but the gatekeeper is responsible to open it up for the shepherd. And so a shepherd would bring his flock of sheep, and there may be another flock in this sheepfold. It was good size. And so there may have been just different flocks mixed in to these sheepfolds. And so the shepherd would come, and maybe he just needed to go and needed to go rent a room for himself for the night, and he needed to take a break. And so he would pay the gatekeeper, and they'd open up. He'd walk his sheep in there, and the sheep would walk around. And then the next day when the shepherd would come, he would talk to his sheep, and his sheep would go, "Ah, that's my guy." And they would follow them out. So this is the picture that Jesus is painting for them. This is a natural thing. Some sheepfolds didn't even have a gatekeeper. You know, some are just kind of put out in the country. And in those cases, what Jesus uses with his analogy, sometimes a shepherd would just have to lie in the opening. They would just sleep or spend all night out with the sheep. If there's not a gatekeeper, I got to stay there. If there's not a gate, I have to stay to protect my sheep. And so the shepherd would just lie down in the middle of that opening. So Jesus paints this picture for them, and of course they hear this story and they're like, what is he talking about? And really, they're not ignorant of the story that he's telling. What they don't get is, what does that have to do with this? What does this story even have to do with you and what you've done and what you're claiming and what you're saying? And so then Jesus answers in verse 7. So he said, "Okay, I am the door of the sheep." Now, the thing about sheep, which again, we're going to see today and next week, sheep and shepherds. Sheep are not necessarily that smart of animals. Okay? Which again, it may sound harsh, but we are compared to sheep a lot in the Bible. And as sophisticated and as highly as we view ourselves, not always so much, right? But again, sheep, if an enemy got in or a wild animal would get in the pen, in the sheepfold, the sheep would just basically stand there. They'd allow themselves to be slaughtered, right? They don't have any really good natural defenses. They rely upon the shepherd. And so Jesus says, this pen, this sheepfold, I am the door. I am the door. I am the only legitimate way in and out. Now, does Jesus concede that people can get in from another way? He does, doesn't he? He said, hey, some that are climbing over the wall, some that are knocking some stones down and, you know, digging a little tunnel or a hole to get to the sheep. He said, it's possible, but that's not who you want to go with. That's not who you want to follow. Instead, we are told that here's one thing that the sheep know. That's my guy, and I recognize his voice. That's all I have to know, because that voice leads me to water. That voice leads me to food. That voice leads me to safety. That voice takes care of me. Now, sheep, if nothing else this morning, we should hear that lesson. Because that voice is the only one that sustains us. That voice is the only one that leads us to good. That voice is the only one that protects us and saves us. And so Jesus says, all right, you all know what a sheep pen is. I am the door. The only way in, the only legitimate way in, the only way out. I am the door in verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will find pasture. So Jesus has just laid it out, and now that he's told the story, he makes it very clear there is only one way to be saved. Now, you want to relate to Jesus' persecution and the struggles of early Christians? Just say that today in any situation, right? That's not a popular message, is it? No, that's not a popular message at all. In fact, if Jesus claiming that he is the entrance to salvation, and again, we live in a world and in a time where people have a hard time accepting truth. People have a hard time accepting facts. But when you define something, you exclude everything else as a definition, right? Here, this is low-hanging fruit, okay? But it's right in front of us. Going on in the world around us, one of the biggest definitions that people are struggling with, what is a woman? And people don't know how to define it anymore. We're all over the place. We're all over the place, and really what you hear the most often and the loudest is, oh, well, everyone will define it for themselves, and however they're feeling, that's the definition. A thing ceases to be a thing when you can't define it. A thing ceases to exist when you take its definition away and just says, well, everything qualifies as the thing. The thing's no longer the thing, is it? No, it's something else. It's something else. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening around us. Here's another one. Here's another definition that's going on in the world around us. A certain leader of a certain church in the last week or two has said, all roads lead to God. Right? All religions lead you to the same place. It's kind of like that old saying, and we know this from studying our biblical history, is that used to, because Rome was like the epicenter of everything, right? And you know the saying, all roads lead to Rome. Well, in the same way that some in the world of religion today are saying, all roads lead to God. They're half right. But guess what? Roads are two-way. And those roads that lead to Rome can also be used to get out of Rome. And all of those paths that lead to God can also be walked to go away from God. And so Jesus comes along and he says, look, I'm the door. I'm the way to salvation. I'm it. And again, here, I'll just give you a silly example because, you know, we as sheep, silly examples stick with us. That's the door out. Okay? Just play with me. Ignore your eyes. I know. That's the door out of here. That's the only door that we have this morning. And when we are done, we're going to go out and find pasture. Right? You guys already decided on where you're going to find pasture this afternoon? Some of you have it warming on the stove at home. Some of you already think about, ooh, I hadn't even thought about lunch. Yeah. Pasture is out there. Now, of course, when we're all going out here, and some of you have smaller sheep, and you say, all right, well, everything is done. It's time to go. Kids, follow me. And you go out that door, and you find your pasture. Well, if one of your kids just, you know, I don't know, just decides in their head that I'm coming, Mom, as soon as I get to pasture. While you're standing over here going, here's the door. I don't want the door. I want to go through here. Well, through here's not an option. Well, give me some time and some tools. I'll make an option. Yeah, that's what bad people do. That's what thieves and robbers do. Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the way. He says, I will open it for you. I'm not trying to keep you out of it. Jesus stands right here and says, hey, sheep, anybody that wants to live, or in this case, anybody that wants pasture, anybody that wants lunch, come with me. It's right out here. And he holds the door open for us. And yet so many of us, like those sheep, or, you know, like crazy kids, we just are still just, I want to go out here. See, it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? It does. It sounds kind of silly, but this is what we do. Jesus says this is the way, this is the definition, this is the entrance, this is how you get there. And you and I, in all of our folly or our stubbornness or our hard hearts, whatever, you and I are just beating on the walls. There's got to be another way. There's got to be another. I'm going to get there. I'm gonna find my own religion. I'm gonna find my own road. I'm gonna find my own path. I'm gonna find some other way to get to Jesus except Jesus. That's absolutely ridiculous. Right? But that's what happens when you and I don't listen to the voice of Jesus. When we ignore the voice of Jesus and say, I want to listen to a different voice. I want to listen to something else. I want to listen to somebody else because maybe they're saying something that doesn't require me to go in that direction. Or maybe they're saying something to me that just makes me feel good for a minute. Or maybe they're just saying something that, oh, that sounds nice. That sounds easy. I don't want to follow the shepherd. I'm just going to find another way. And Jesus says any other way is not going to lead you to life. You may find another way, but it's not going to end up where you want to be. The entrance of Jesus leads to salvation. In Acts chapter 4, Chris read for us, and interesting story. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are basically going through the exact same scenario that we see here in John chapter 10. Because guess what? The same spirit exists of something good is done and we must find an alternative to the power of God causing it. You realize in the Gospels and in the book of Acts how many times people saw the glory of God and had to find another explanation. I mean, we're on the same page. You are aware of this trend? Yes? No? I'm honestly asking. We are aware of this trend of how many times in the Bible people wanted to find another source for God doing something? Thank you. Okay, all right. I'm just seeing where you're at. I'll leave you with this. You don't want to be in that camp. It's popular. It's well populated. It's easy. You don't want to be there. In Acts chapter 4, a man is healed. His legs don't work. In chapter 3. He's healed in chapter 3, so what do all the good religious people do? Well, let's find out about this, except something's got to be wrong here. Something's got to be wrong. This can't be from God. And so, let's see. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Go to verse 22. Because they're answering for this healing, they're answering for the fact that God's power is seen in their lives and shared with someone who is broken. And so in Acts 3:22, it says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So Peter says, look, your Bible, your Old Testament has been preparing you for this time. This is what God is doing to save you from your own sins. This is what it looks like. This is it. This is it. And God, in his mercy, is trying to pull you out of all the bad that you're in and bring you to good. And so then they get the chance to share the gospel message in chapter 4. And, oh, he says, listening to Jesus? Back in verse 22. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Listening to the voice of Jesus is life and death. Listening to what Jesus says is life and death. It's not, okay, well, you have your religion, I have mine. You have your faith, I have mine. You can believe that, I'm going to believe this. You are free to do that. Because just like, you know, all roads lead to someplace central, they can also go away from someplace central. Two-way streets. The Bible says, this is who God has raised from the dead. You should pay attention. Nobody else deserves to be listened to like Jesus. And it doesn't matter what alternative you provide. It doesn't matter what other religion that there is. Jesus is the one who has been raised from the dead. And so back into chapter 4, I want to reread a couple verses. Verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. You really want to know where all this comes from? It is Jesus Christ, God's Son. You thought you could put him down, but God's will not be stopped. So God raised him back from the dead. That's why we listen. That's why we obey. That's why we follow. And so when Jesus says, I am the door, he's not being cruel because a wall exists. He is saying, I'm showing you how to get to the good stuff. All you got to do is listen and follow me. If you want to go away, you can. I can. Any of us can. But you're not going to find the good stuff. You're going to find danger. You're not going to find the good water. You're not going to find the great grass. You're not going to find those good things outside of Jesus. Jesus leads us to good things, and he's the only way to get to all those good things. Okay? It is to define a door. There's no point in railing against walls, right? I've been praying for rain. We've had rain a couple times while we were in this room. It was very loud. It blew very hard. Got very wet. Very thankful for the walls. You got walls at your house. You appreciate them, don't you? Mm-hmm. And I bet a few of you lock that door, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, we do. We enjoy those. Now, Jesus is the door, and here's something cool that I want us to see. Because being the door of salvation, neat thing about Jesus is how he's still working and opening and creating opportunities. So here's what I want us to see. Throughout the New Testament, we see the door that God is opening. Stay in Acts, but go over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Jesus says, I am the door. Okay? I'm going to read you a few verses, and I want you to hear about the door. Acts chapter 14. Go down to verse 27. Acts 14:27 says, and when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. So God has opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Wonder who that door of faith would be. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's at the end of the letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. A wide door has been opened to me for the work of God. Wonder who that is. Well, Jesus says, I am the door, right? And I mean, if you want to dig into it, the Greek word is thyra, T-H-Y-R-A. It's the same. It's simple. It's a door. Okay. It's not a magic word. That's just what you'll find in your Bible study. T-H-Y-R-A, thyra. So Paul says, look, hey, I want to be there, but God has opened this great big wide door and there's a lot of work. Yeah, there's a lot of adversaries too. I mean, the enemy is working hard too. But God has opened up a door to reach people with Jesus. And Jesus just happens to be that door. Second Corinthians chapter 2, a couple pages. One in my Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Again, the Apostle Paul. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and I went on to Macedonia. Paul says, look, Jesus is opening something over here. Look what Jesus is doing. He is literally describing his ministry in sharing the good news of Jesus as having the path opened with Jesus and by the power of Jesus. And so we see this door over and over. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. How many sung the song in their heads? You know what Colossians comes after, right? Just me? I did. I said Philippians, Colossians. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul absolutely believes that his ministry is sharing the good news of Jesus to the lost around him. But at the same time, the opportunity to share Jesus is also Jesus. So I'm not just sharing the good news of Jesus saying, hey, look, if you want in, if you want to find all the good stuff, if you want protection and lunch and safety and security, it's right there. But at the same time, he is the door. And so the door is opening a door so that more people can receive and enter through the door. Now, this metaphor is getting big, right? It is. It's getting very big. Jesus' claim, ask God to open a door to share the mystery of Christ. Revelation chapter 4, this one's kind of fun. So we've seen Paul saying, Jesus is literally making a way for me to share Jesus with others. Church, if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the door for all the sheep, maybe we need to be asking God to open a door for us today. Maybe you and I, in living our lives, maybe you and I have been banging our head into the wall. And maybe we need to be asking God, God, please give me a door to walk through. Give me a path that Jesus opens up for me so that I can follow you and trust you and share you and do the things that you want me to do and share the good news with who you want me to share it with. Open the door. Be the door. I need to walk through this. In Revelation chapter 4. Now that you've seen the pattern, I do not believe that this is a mistake, an accident, or an unimportant statement. Revelation chapter 4. After this, behold, I looked, a door standing open in heaven. Now, you know who wrote this, right? John wrote this, okay? John wrote this, he's out on an island, and Jesus shows up and says, hey, I need to show you some stuff. And he has just told him, write down all these letters, here's the message for all these seven churches, and they need to know, they need to be faithful, they need to be strong, they need to hang on to this. He gets through all the letters to all these churches, and then John looks, and what does he see but a door opened in heaven? Now, what do you think an open door in heaven might be? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like Jesus saying, Jesus is the open door to heaven. It's not a secret. Yeah, does it help if we understand the history and the times in which people lived so that we can understand what a sheepfold looks like and a gatekeeper and all these things together? But the message is very clear, and Jesus doesn't mince words about it. He says, I am the door of salvation. I'm the way in. I'm here. I've given you myself. You crucified me, but that's okay. But that was God's plan. I died for all of your sins. I am the door. And here in Revelation chapter 4, we look up with John and we see in heaven, there's a door. There's a door. He is where I want to be. And he is how I will get there. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. The entrance to salvation is Jesus Christ. And taking the good news to the lost is seen as a door. And the door stands open in heaven as God has raised him from the grave and given us entrance through his death and sacrifice for our sins. Well, Michael, that's a wild story. It is. But I didn't make it up. I read it for you. It's not my story. It's his story. It's his story of how God says, I'm sending you my son, and I'm going to bless all families on earth through him. God has chosen, this is how I'm saving you. This is how I'm blessing you. This is how I'm giving you eternal life. This is how I am providing for all of your needs. This is the door. This is my son. Church, the good news is that God has given us entrance to where he is. And he calls us. Yeah, I got to read this one. Maybe. My Bible's got a lot of pages. Here we go. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 26. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. God goes to his people and says, here's my son. I raised him from the dead. Nothing you can do to him will harm him. And I give him to you so that all of you will turn away from all of your wickedness and find life in him. So church, that's our invitation this morning. For those of us that are Christians, we need to get on board and understand that we need to be asking God for an opportunity and a means to go where we need to go this week. We need to be asking God, God, show me the door. Show me where Jesus is, because I just want to be there, right? What did Jesus say about it? He said, hey, if you know his voice, you know where to go. You and I need to hear his voice. You and I need to open up our ears, because there's a lot of voices. And maybe you and I have been found listening to the wrong voices that have led us to a bad direction, a dead end, or just banging our heads against the wall. It's time to listen to the voice of our shepherd. It's time to tune in so well and to know so clearly the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says it, I'm good with it, that's where I'm going. Maybe we need to turn down the volume to some of the other voices, the cacophony that we are surrounded by, the noise, and listen to his voice. He is the door. He is the door. He's the way in, and he's the way. He's the only way. But we'll get to that in a couple Sundays. So, this morning, if you are not a sheep of God, if Jesus is, well, if you haven't entered into the door, we invite you to do that. Because he is salvation and life. If you are not a Christian this morning and you need to respond to that and you need to turn away from your own wickedness and find life and pasture and peace and safety for all time, we invite you to respond today. If you are a Christian and you've been banging your head against a wall, it's time to find the door. And all of us, as we sing this next song, let's sing a little bit louder, because a door in heaven has been opened for us. God has made a way. We got to find it. We got to listen. We got to look. And we got to stay focused. So if you need to respond, if you need any help today, let us know.